بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله. We're supposed to talk about the call to change and being ambassadors in a new era. And we have with us one of the accomplished activists here in the Muslim community. So I'm going to touch upon a basic concept about da'wah that the ulama talk about that is very insightful. And that is that they say that in da'wah, there's four principal considerations. There's four principal considerations. And unless each of these is taken into account, any call will be ineffective. And these four considerations are very straightforward. They say there's الدعوة والداعي والمدعو والمدعو به. What does that mean? There's the call itself, right? What is the call itself? Then there's the caller, and the one called, and the way you call them. Okay? These are four basic considerations. And I'll tell you a little trick that will be very useful if you ever asked to give a khutbah last minute. That is, it's one of the scholarly tricks related to this, if you can think conceptually for a second. But in general, four considerations. The first is the call. Right? What are we calling to? Secondly, the caller themselves. Thirdly, the one who is called. And fourthly, the way of calling. Now, as relates to the call, it is very straightforward. But when you look at the da'wah efforts of many people, it's not. If you look at the Qur'an and the call of the prophets, what did they call to? It is very clear. They called to Allah. And so many prophets emphasized, we call only to Allah. And this is very important. We do not call to Islam, even. Right? We do not call to Islam. Our call is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is that significant? At the University of Toronto, where I was in the last century, right, in the 1990s, right? Once I had an exam coming up during Islam Awareness Week. So I actually went to class because it's an exam. Otherwise, you know, classes are, for MSA people, classes are like makruh to go to, right? You only do them if there's like some need. Or so it would seem. Although the sunnah, by the way, would be to get everyone and everything that has a right, their due right. So if you're an MSA activist, give your studies their due right. Right? But the practice of activists would seem to be that you shouldn't attend class. But it was 8:45 and the class was on the other side of campus. This person came and she started asking about hijab. So I went to class. You know, the stomach starts grumbling, so I went, grabbed coffee and donuts with a friend of mine. And around 12:30, 12:45, came back. Like, it's almost 4 hours. Came back. The person was still at the MSA table, the non-Muslim person, and completely different cast of characters were still debating with her about the hijab. Right? About the hijab. And these kinds of things happen. And if you have seen da'wah or discussion, a lot of times people get stuck in something. You know, they're trying to defend the hijab or some aspect of Islamic law. And law really interests me, right? But we lose sight of the bigger picture, that you're not trying to convince someone about the hijab. You're not trying to convince them about a particular matter. Even the acts of worship, when people present Islam, right? The way they present Islam, just step back and think, would you want to do that? Say, Islam is to believe that there's no God but Allah, and then to do this, and all this list of things that you do, and then a whole bunch of things that you don't do. Oh my God, why would I want to get stuck with all that? None of it actually makes any sense unless you give it the perspective of it being for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because nothing we do as Muslims is for any other reason except the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the call, that has to be clear. And that governs your call in critical ways. That sometimes someone may ask a question that's very important. But how does this fit in the call? And sometimes the right thing to do would be not to answer the question or to change the topic. The Prophet ﷺ was asked religious questions. Mata sa'a? When is the last hour? How did the Prophet ﷺ respond? He considered, okay, given what the call is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the point of giving this answer? There was no point. What did he do? He changed the subject. He said, مَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. He reframed the matter. What have you prepared for it? Right? And this is important. So this is the first consideration. The call, and it's very clear, the call is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And worse than that, of course, is partisan calls, when you're trying to call to your group. Right? And we talked about that last night. The second consideration is the caller, the one who's doing the calling. And the Arabs say, فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The one bereft of something cannot give it. The one bereft of something cannot give it. So when you want to call people to the truth, you need to acquire certain key qualities. The first of these is you have to work on your sincerity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be able to call people, because your words get adorned with a light through sincerity. And unless you have sincerity, your words will fall on deaf ears. So that's the first thing. The second is sincere concern for others. Right? One is sincerity with Allah, the other is sincere concern for others. And this was the opening theme yesterday, that religion itself, a deen, what is it? It's nasiha, it is sincere concern. It's wishing well for others. Right? So you have to have that. Then with that, what is the basis of your dealing with other people? The basis of your dealing with other people, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Deal with people, relate to people on the basis of excellence of character. And excellence of character is the prophetic character. You need to know the prophetic character and you have to uphold it. And the only way you can know it is to have a daily connection with the prophetic example. And that is key. Every day you have to connect with that prophetic example. And then how do you remember that prophetic example? Right? You need to learn, but with that you have to engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Verily you have in the Messenger of Allah the most beautiful of examples. For whom? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For whoever seeks Allah and the last day. Right? He is our exemplar for those seeking Allah and the last day. But how do you sustain that sense of purpose and that awareness of the example to follow, the way that we're supposed to uphold it in life, that character and conduct that we're supposed to be governed by? The closing of the verse says, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and makes much remembrance of Allah. Because that by that, you remember not only your purpose and goal, why you're doing it, what's the call all about, but also the way you're going to go about that. So that's very key. The Prophet ﷺ counseled, keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah. Right? So that's very important for the caller, to work on their sincerity with Allah, their sincere concern for others, and to uphold excellence of character, whether things are good, or when, and especially when they're bad, when people are responding negatively. The third consideration is the one called. Right? The one you're calling. You have to look very carefully at the person you're calling. You have to know about them. And you have to care about them. But you should not say anything to them until you know what's likely to benefit them. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day should say the good or remain silent. And now, when we translate liyasmut as remain silent, we're being a bit polite. As the brothers can... If you told an Arab who understands classical Arabic, usmut, you should duck, because they're going to hit you. Right? it's closer to meaning, or shut up. Right? Whoever believes in Allah in the last day should say the good, or keep quiet, or shut up. Why? But of course, it's much more polite than shut up, right? Or, you know, keep completely quiet. Why? Whoever believes in Allah in the last day should say the good or remain quiet. What does it mean to say the good? We falsely assume saying the good is saying something that is in itself correct or right or of benefit. That is not the prophetic understanding of saying the good. The prophetic understanding of saying the good, as Imam Nawawi explains in his commentary on Sahih Muslim, saying the good means saying that which is likely to be of benefit. Saying that which is likely to be of benefit. That is good speech. And unless you know that this speech is likely to be of benefit, what is the sunnah? The sunnah is silence. We have many examples from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Some of the Jews of Medina came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him about Allah. How did the Messenger ﷺ reply? He didn't answer. You're asking the Messenger of God about God. What does he do? He doesn't answer. He waited for revelation. And Surah Al-Ikhlas came. Did he not know the answer? Of course he did. Right? But there's many aspects to it. One is that is teaching us not to be hasty in our speech. Someone asks you a question on campus. You don't have to be a fatwa bank. I used to annoy one of my teachers. I used to always go ask him question after question. And he often wouldn't answer. And I'd kind of press the question, ask this way and that. He said, what do you think I am? A fiqh encyclopedia? They can just put in a bunch of variables and I'll give you the answer? And sometimes he'd answer a few days later. And it's probably teaching me, right? But you have to know the person you're addressing and consider how they will benefit from what you're trying to convey to them. And until you're reasonably sure that this will be of benefit, wait. Wait, don't be hasty in telling other people about guidance. The Prophet ﷺ did not say very much. But when he said it, it was very effective. One of the great scholars of our times, Mufti Rafi Usmani, he'd always repeat this statement. He'd say, ضَعِ الدَّوَاءَ فِي مَوْضِعِ الدَّاءَ. Place the medicine where the wound is. He said, you don't take a brush and paint the whole body with the ointment. Right? You might end up harming other parts of the body. Rather, find out, see where the need is, and that's where you apply the medicine, to the extent of the need. Right? So this is very important. And with that, it has to be clear that you care about the person you're calling. Right? You have to have empathy for them. You have to have concern. You have to have love for them. Otherwise, your words will not benefit the person who's called. And the final aspect is the way you call them. The way you call them. And this relates to this idea of considering not only what you say and when you say it, but also how you say it. The Prophet ﷺ told us that gentleness is not found in anything except that it makes it beautiful. And it's not taken out of anything except that it makes it ugly. Sometimes we're consciously hostile, but sometimes just in our energy and verve and want to say the truth, you're not trying to be harsh, but that's how you come across. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ was exceedingly gentle. Right? And he tells us, ﷺ, that Allah is gentle and He loves gentleness. And He gives for gentleness what He doesn't give for harshness, nor for anything else. So this is one of the important aspects, is discretion, gentleness. And then looking at, okay, what you say and when you say it, but how would you most effectively go about saying it? Sometimes someone asks you a question and they may have a hostile attitude. It may be better to say, you know, that's a really good question. Why don't we discuss it over lunch tomorrow? See, that give them time to cool down. You give yourself time to think it through. So you consider when you say it, right? And with that, you need to reflect on the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in teaching other people and in calling other people. You also have to look at the customs of the people you're addressing. And there's no such thing as an American, for example, or a Canadian. Different people from different backgrounds, different parts of society, different socioeconomic backgrounds, have very different concerns and attitudes and so on. And you have to be aware of that in order to be able, or as best you can, to have awareness of that in order to be able to benefit them. Right? And finally, your actions should be the proof of your words, right? Not only your own conduct, but what you do in society, right? The service to people, because people don't listen to your words unless they see that your actions correspond to the good that you're doing. And this is where service is so important. Serving other people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because service is something that people respect. Because service, there's nothing in it for you. Or there should not be anything in it for you. And this is a critical component of the prophetic example. That you have to serve others. For what reason? For the sake of Allah. And that service shows that you're true to what you're calling other people to. And that's a very important aspect. You can't just go around doing da'wah. But your service to people expresses the concern you have for Allah, the concern you have for humanity. And when those two are true, then the words by which you call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are likely to be effective. So these are just four considerations, right? The call and the caller and the one called and how you call. And of course, the trick that I was mentioning, the ulama mentioned that if you're ever pressed for time, right? And I actually prepared for this, so I wasn't using the trick per se. But when there's two matters, and the relationship between them, there's always four considerations. There's the thing itself, the one who's doing that thing, the one whom it's being done to, and the way it's being done. Right? So anytime you have to speak about anything, you could reduce it in that way. Talk about love, there's love itself, there's the lover, the beloved, and the way the love is expressed. Right? Service, there's service itself, the one serving, the one served, and the way the service happens. Right? Anything you want to talk about, this is a very simple way of logically reducing it down. Right? So that's the little trick. And you know, sometimes if you're pressed for time, someone asks you, tell me about character. So what's character itself? The person who has character, who you have character with, and how that is expressed. Right? And it's a useful way of breaking things down. So that's something that we just wanted to open up before Altaf Hai takes over. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.